and their appreciation and trusted them to serve. The deacon has a great responsibility, a lot of time. The wives will have to withgo a lot of times with their husband because they'll be busy serving the Lord, and they're willing to do that. We appreciate them and all the other deacons. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. Unusual message tonight about deacon ordination, I'm sure. God always gives me something different. I don't think I've ever preached the same message twice about deacon ordination. There's plenty of the Word of God. You don't have to worry about running out of material. Just have to read and study and let God fill in the places where we can. In the fourth division of the book of Ephesians, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. It doesn't just mean deacons. It means we have a calling. Some pastors, some teachers, some parents, some instructors, some musicians, some singers were called by him. And he told us our job is to walk worthy of it, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Not only does he tell us to walk worthy, but he tells us how to walk meek. God loves a broken and contrite spirit. He will not despise. So we walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'd like to speak for us a little while tonight on the subject of unity of the Spirit. We ought to be willing to sometimes be willing to be spent, or maybe to take that which we don't deserve as far as insults, putting downs, whatever, for the sake of the unity of the Spirit. He talks much about this in this chapter. Endeavoring, make every effort. Determine with your own heart to take every avenue you've got to put it first, that we keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Live peaceably with all men, the Bible told us. And if churches can't do that, then the world's looking on and they're beholding how we're acting. So our charge is to keep the unity of the Spirit. Endeavor, make every effort to do so. Now, he will help us do that within ourselves. We can't do that because the world's out there. They hate us. Satan will see to it that he puts maybe a spirit of hurt within some individual within the body of Christ. Satan can do that, you see, to cause something to be amiss between brother and sister or between brother and brother. But our job is to endeavor with all our heart to keep the unity of the Spirit. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So within ourselves, we know we can't do it, but he gives us grace and merited favor, the ability to swallow our pride and to put him first in their life. And what matter does it make if some of us don't receive pats on the back, or you sang a beautiful song, or you preached a good message, or you were there when I need you? What difference does it make? All we ought to do is, my job, my calling, is to keep unity of the Spirit. And I'll do everything within my power. And when I don't have the power, he'll give me grace to accomplish that. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he should also descend? First into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He tells us why he did all of these. Not just so we can stand up, oh, I'm an evangelist, God called me. No, no. Or I'm a singer, I'm a pastor. No. Look what he said. Why did he do it? For the perfecting of saints. Remember, it's not about us. It's about others. God helps us. He called us, whether it's deacons or whether it's a teacher. He helped us to help someone else. We may be having a good life, and there's other people around us that may not be. So we endeavor, whatever it takes, to keep the unity of the Spirit. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, not the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, to the measures of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So he tells us that we ought not to be so concerned about ourselves, but about others, for the unity of the Spirit. And one of my favorite verses is speaking the truth in love. If you can't say it in love, just keep your mouth shut. Sometimes you have to be stern. Sometimes it's almost like to have to carry a baseball bat, but swing it in love, for crying out loud. What we do with love. Paul said, I speak the truth in love. He had to get pretty rough with the church sometimes, but he did it with the love of Christ. Let's turn your Bibles, please. That is the introduction to the book of Acts, chapter 6. We see that God saw the needs of the church, the early church, and he looked all the way down through the avenues of the time and saw this church and every other church. He saw and he knew that we're people. We have needs. We're strange people sometimes with strange needs. But above all, he called us all to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, within that church that was growing daily, there was needs. And we want to look at these needs, and God had the perfect answer for it. He always does. I don't have to answer. I don't need it. But the Word of God has it. If I will look at it, he will tell me how to do, how to act. So the unity of spirit is the reason he called these deacons to begin with. Let's read the text together, chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Spend a little time on these verses tonight. First of all, we see that there was a cry from those that were hurting. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt's land. And they were in affliction a long time, several years. And finally, they were crying out to God for deliverance. And God heard their cry. So many times we go through hardships. Our nation's going through hardship. Churches, families are going through hardships. But God expects us to cry unto him. He has the answer. So they were crying for help. Some of them were truly neglected. They were murmuring. If they had not resolved this problem, it would have gotten worse. There are problems. People are problems. I'm a problem. Sometimes you may be a problem. We murmur, complain, God help us. But if we cry unto the Lord and say, Lord, help us, we want the unity of the Spirit. We're going to endeavor. We're going to spend everything we have. We're going to put it first, that above all, we stay together with you in Christian love and harmony. What can we do to hear your voice so there's no needs, they're all taken care of? And so they were crying. And of course, God heard their prayers. He spoke to his preachers, the disciples, and he told them how to solve their problem. Now, those boys were just like us. If you read the account of those disciples that the Lord called, they were just like you and I when he called us. First of all, they were unlearned and ignorant. That's what they observed about him. But then when they got alone with Christ, their ministry counted for something, because even the heathen and even the religious crowd says, we don't know about these boys. They're unlearned. They're ignorant. But one thing we know, they've been with the Lord. And if we're with him and learn the unity of the Spirit, that'll get us all the way through this life full of grace and glory. So they had a cry. They were hurting. And they told their complaints. If you have a problem and you don't tell the Lord about it, of course, he knows anyway, but he wants you to tell him about it. And then you might need to tell someone else about it, not just to cause trouble or hardship, but if people are hurting, let somebody know you're hurting. I don't know your mind, and I don't know your situation, and the deacons surely don't either. So they were not necessarily just complaining. They were just crying out for help and telling those people, we have some issues that need to be taken care of. Our widows are being neglected. And that gets God's attention. And God has a remedy for it. And the minister said, now, the need for us to continue in prayer and ministry of the word takes precedence over everything else. Your needs are important, but there's something even more important. Your physical needs are important. We're not making light of it. But God says ministry and continuation in the word of God and in prayer is much more important. And I don't know about you, but God knows my heart. He certainly knows your heart. And when you get your mind on something else, like if I were to try to say sometimes, and I've done it in the past, confession doeth good, look around and say, so-and-so's not here. Did I do something to hurt their feelings? And if I'm thinking that kind of thing, how am I going to concentrate on what God wants me to say to help somebody that's hurting? And so I have to get above that. And we're talking about our security team talks. You know, well, if somebody breaks through the mist out there, would you recognize it? No, not until the very last I wouldn't, because I've got my mind on him and what he wants me to say to help the people. So the continuation for the disciples in prayer and in the word of God surpassed the needs of the people, but he didn't neglect the people. He said, there's others that can take care of this matter. Unless you boys continue in prayer and meditation. Some parents in years gone by said, oh, forgive me that my baby cried and disturbed you. And I say, I didn't hear the baby. I didn't hear the baby. And I don't know what's going on. And I don't really know who's here and who isn't. But I do know that the Lord's in the house. And if I continue in prayer and get his will in my life, he knows what you need. I surely don't. He knows the right message. He has the anointing. And the disciples said, we're just people like you are. And if we start taking care of your needs, it's going to hinder us from the continuation in the word of God and then the breaking of bread and then their prayers. And God's got a lot of people. He's got you guys. He's got a lot of people. He said, I called you to be a preacher. And you can't spend all your time and energy worrying about unity of the Spirit. And you just tell me about it, and we'll let somebody else handle it, don't you see? Doesn't mean I don't care. Doesn't mean the disciples didn't care. It meant that if you get your mind on one thing, it's hard to get your mind on something else. Are you like that? The disciples were. And they said, the need for us, it's a continuation in prayer. Don't let your needs or your hurt interrupt that. And everybody else is better off for it. So they had the perfect remedy. We see the cry, the complaints, and the continuation of prayer. So let's look at the criteria now. The criteria is going to be met by God's own decree of how they handle this situation. Verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples to them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report. Very important. Because you're going to have to deal with the problems out there, because the goal is unity of the Spirit. Now, if we all assemble together, they said, and this group over here is saying we're being neglected, they're getting favoritism, how can that be unity of the Spirit? And remember the objective we read, unity of the Spirit, endeavor to keep the unity of Spirit. And this is a perfect plan. It works every time. God's plan is always that. Honest report, men of honest report, and the church has chosen men of honest report. That means you're going to do right, and you're going to help without hurting. I preached a message one time. I wish God would let me preach it again. It sure would help me. In the old church, some of you may remember it, that God, in his precious word, has a formula. Help without hurting. And I don't know how to achieve that within myself. If these men were not of honest report, they could go out here and help all these widows that were in need and end up hurting somebody else. And that's what we do within ourselves. So many times, if we're not careful, yeah, that's a need, and we'll take care of that need, and we hurt in so doing. So there is a way, and only one way, and that's God's way of getting in tune with him and help without hurting. It can be accomplished through God's precious word. So he says, here's the way we accomplish it. Men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. See, the Holy Ghost is one that knows everything. He knows the needs, how to resolve the needs, how to keep the unity of the Spirit, because it's the Spirit we're talking about. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. And then he uses, we already read in the book of Ephesians, that his grace will help us do that. And we don't have wisdom, but we preach a lot of messages recently on wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally. But let him ask in faith, without wavering. For he that wavereth is like the winds of the sea, driven with the winds and tossed. Let not that man ask anything of God. So it's not earthly wisdom that we need, because that'll mess us up. It's got to be heavenly wisdom. And you got to be honest before. Sometimes you say things that others may not like, but if God says say it, you have to say it. But say it in love, because God expects us to be the unity of Spirit. So these men are honest report. They got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said that lastly, there's standards which God expects, and there's benchmarks. And look at the standards and the benchmarks. Whom we may appoint over this business. Now, in times past and growing up in the mountains of Western North Carolina, a lot of misconception about deacons. I've seen churches that thought deacons were appointed by God to run the church and make decisions for the church. Not in the Word of God like that. First call of deacons, and look what happens. People are hurting. Men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and of wisdom, have been chosen by the people, and God ordains it, and they have gone out, and what are they going to do? Last part of that verse. Whom we may appoint over this business. Sounds to me like God's still speaking to the disciples to know what business it was. This particular time, it was business of the widows that had been neglected. Next time, it may be something else. But the head of the church, which is Christ, tells the pastor, and then a lot of the deacons I've known, I've had churches years before I started pastoring, want me to be their pastor. But after I got to checking and praying about it, they didn't really want me to be the pastor. They wanted me to be the preacher. What's the difference? A whole lot of difference. They wanted to make every decision in the church and say everything that happened, and I just go over the book, and that's not what the scripture says. The disciples were still in charge, and they were the one appointing the deacons and say, God expects this. Now, how they do it, God gives them the reason for it. And the disciples didn't have to do it. They just told them to do it. So God has a criteria that has to be met. And the conditions and the circumstances have to be met. And you know as well as I do, every person is different. Now, they say that's what makes the world go around. But if that were true, it'd be spinning a lot faster than it is, because we are really different, are we not? And would you be honest with me? Some days I'm different than I am other days myself. Some days a decision I make, if it were the Lord's decision, it would be consistent. But sometimes a decision I make, after I sleep on it, pray about it, I go back and say, Roy, you foolish man, why did you ever say that? And I found out it was circumstances change. The conditions change. And I haven't prayed enough, saw him enough. But I found out in the Baptist church, and I suppose it's that way with all denominations, I've never been involved with other denominations, but I found it to be true that if a church is consistent, and they do this today, and they do that tomorrow, and they don't pay, have favorites, and they don't do this for that group and not that group, if you just try to be consistent, that will resolve a whole lot of difficulty. Because the goal is the unity of the Spirit. And there was problems in the church, and there was no unity there. They had to be resolved. And God put his finger on it and said, this is the way we resolve him. Men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and of wisdom. And God's got all wisdom. And if we'll ask in faith, believe it, he will give you the wisdom to do it. And then every situation is quite different. The next situation, I found that, you know, and I'm not perfect at this, I'm learning, but I have learned that every situation, every family is different. If I'm counseling some families, I would say really different to that family than I would another family. Why? Because there's different needs and different circumstances and different personalities, and there's a lot going on out there that I don't know, but the Holy Spirit does. So if we'll learn to ask him, Lord, help me display in my life, in the church's life, in the deacon's life, in the life of everybody, unity of the Spirit doesn't mean you compromise, not one time. If you have to compromise the Word of God to have unity, that would be even worse. And some people you can't have unity with, you know that. But there's no compromising to the precious Word of God. You preach it in love. You teach it in love. And you're consistent. And he's consistent. And we pray for those. There's a lot of people that would despitefully use you. And you don't know who they are. There's wolves in sheep's clothing, don't you know? And you will run into those along the way too. I'm not saying they're within their church, but they're lurking somewhere out there, and they're in a lot of churches. So we have to be careful about that. And I don't know, and you don't know, but he knows. The grace of God. So we have seen the cry, the complaints, the continuation of the Spirit, and the criteria, and the conditions. But I want to read a couple more verses, and we'll get down to the charge for the deacons tonight. I don't want to neglect the charge. But in the 133rd division of the Psalms, verse 1, a song of decrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's just a common, simple question. Wouldn't you rather come to church knowing you're not going to love one another and be loved and dwell together in unity than when you leave, somebody said something, you took it wrong, or maybe you took it right, and you left worse than you came? Wouldn't that be awful? So endeavor to keep the unity of spirit. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The love of God. Majoring on his love for the needs of the people. Let's turn the Bibles quickly to the book of Timothy and see what God has to say to us about deacons. Now, there are men of honest report and they're full of Holy Ghost and you chose them and God blesses it. But in the book of 1 Timothy, Chapter 3, we read these words. Verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double tongued, that means honest character, not double tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, must their wives be grave, honest, and of good character, is what he means. Not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Then the qualifications. Let the husband, the deacons be the husband of one wife. That would exclude homosexuals one with another, would it not? It doesn't mean one wife at a time. It means one wife, not divorced. Say it in love, but say it. Ruling their children and their own house as well. Once their children gather homes, they may make mistakes, and they make mistakes in the home. We're not perfect, and our children aren't perfect. But we let them know that we teach them the things of God. We expect them to live and abide by those things. And we tell God about it, and we rear our children with respect to the things of God, and God will take care of the rest. One other verse. For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ. Please don't ever complain about deacons because you don't know what they go through in the course of 3 years before they rotate off for at least 1 year. You don't know maybe the phone calls they've had, the decisions they've had to make, and how much they've been ridiculed and put down. So here's what God says about it. Let the deacons, for they that have used the office of deacon well, just be faithful, unity to the faith, putting God first, and being consistent. God says they have purchased a good degree. Degree from college is well and good, but I'd rather have one from the throne room of heaven, hadn't you? That God looks on your life, your actions, your attitude, what's important. Attitude is everything. Because in your heart, you want to have that unity of the Spirit. Not they're going to compromise to get it, but you're going to stand and you're going to be faithful. And God says, I'll give you a degree. It'll be a degree from heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And great boldness. Oh, he'll give you that too. In the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You don't always know what to say, but you do know that you're going to stand by the word of God. Whatever he says, you're going to say. You'll stand by. Understand it all? Never. But we make ourselves every day available to be used of God. And we appreciate you and your wives and all the other deacons and their wives. We appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be together, to work for him, to serve him. And you know what deacon means? Servant. So God is looking for servants that will act like servants and perform like servants and be servants. And Jesus, remember, was a servant. He came to do the will of the Father. And it's not a calling that would put you up on a pedestal and look at me. It's surely not a calling to make all the decisions of the church. It's to keep the unity and do what God expects you to do. This time we're going to ask you three deacons, if you will, come bow right here and kneel and get ready to pray. And all the other deacons, if you will, come and form a line and go and go through and we're going to pray for them. And the Bible says they laid their hands upon them. Nothing virtuous about their hands, but the Spirit through us just to let God know and us know and you to know that we approve of what God's doing in this place and we approve of them. By the laying out of the hands, we pray for them and we trust God to do for them which nobody else can do. If you'll come play something or sing something as we pray. Musicians, would you come please? And if the deacons will just stand around after you've done that, we'll have a closing prayer. While they're praying, I would ask the church to pray much for deacons. And I always tell the church, if you're one of these threes on their role as a family member, be really easy on them the first year, okay? And the second year, you can get a little harder. But first year, you know, don't make them resign before they get started. Be as easy as you can on them, okay? I say that. little bit joking, but it's true. Don't take advantage of our deacons. They got a family too, don't you see? And they're doing this because God called them to do it. And they want to do it to help you and to help bring unity as a spirit to our congregation and to the Lord's family. Precious Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for these three men that's willing to use the office of deacon that you call them into. Give them wisdom, fill them with the Holy Ghost. Give them the grace to stand, the words to speak, the people to visit, not to visit. Every decision they make, let it be your decision. Speak to them and with them. And I pray, God, that you anoint them. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost anointing on their lives. Lord, they may end up being another Stephen. He goes out to be a preacher. Or another Philip, that's a deacon, then a preacher. And God, you take care of all that. But I know you're able to do and perform exceedingly and abundantly more than we could even ask or think. Now, thank you, Father. Put your anointing on them. In the name of Jesus, with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. You can stand now. If the wives would come stand by them, and we're all going to come by and give them right hand of fellowship, and tell them we're going to be praying for them, which we are. If you keep playing, sister.